The greatest evidence for the Christian faith, in fact, sometimes the only evidence, is what people see in you and me. And my plan for myself this year is, can I be good evidence to the Christian faith? Is it possible for people to walk up to me, not church people, not people in Romsey who say, oh, you're the minister of that church down there. I'm talking about in the kind of the real world, the world where people go to school and go to offices and stuff. I mean, this is the real world, of course it is, but... And can I be good evidence for the gospel out there? My title today is a toolkit for 2020. What I want to do at the beginning of this year is give you, this is not from me, not from any other minister, not from anybody else, it's from the Bible, five things which I believe that if you employ in this year, they will, I believe this is what God is saying to every single Christian at the beginning of this year. Five things, and part of it is our mission for the church, and part of it is just what I believe. It's what I want to give you. I can spend my whole life reading after this book, that book, or this ministry, or this stream, or whoever. But this is me, you know. What I believe God is saying for you, that if I want to give you a toolkit, that if you want to experience real joy, real closeness to God, and real fulfillment at the end of the year, then above everything, well, and yeah, above everything else, these are five things. Before we go there, I was going to read from Joshua 1:9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, rise, go over to the Jordan, you and all your people. In that land I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot would tread upon, I've given to you. Just as I promised, the land of it, from the wilderness as far as Lebanon, the great river Euphrates, or the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to give to them. And then, a bit further on, actually, now in Deuteronomy, it says this, Deuteronomy 2:1-3. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness as far as the Red Sea. The Lord told me, and for many days we travel around the mountain. Then the Lord said to me, you have been traveling around this mountain country too long, turn northward. So I believe whenever I've read this, I've felt, is God saying to me that I need to perhaps look at the things in my life which haven't been so good, haven't been so advantageous, and really move forward with what God has got to me. And I know Pete shared last week, and others have shared over the last few weeks, but the theme seems to be, don't waste time for God this decade, this year. You know, I look back in my life, and I'm very grateful for lots of things that happened, but there are some things I probably look at and think, I wish I'd done that earlier. When I was about 19, 20, 21, I kept on saying, one day I'm going to be in full-time Christian ministry. One day I'm going to be in full-time Christian ministry. Because I kind of knew it was there all the time. It was in the back, and I wasted, not wasted my life, but I just did other things for years and years. But I knew that God was calling me specifically to full-time ministry. And I kind of didn't do anything about it for a decade and a half, or probably more. I remember a friend of mine called Tom, who just simply said to me, if you're going to do that, it means you've got to put one foot forward and step into something today. You've got to make a decision now. If you've got these plans that you're going to do something, it means you've got to do something. You know, and if God has put something in you, whether it's in ministry or whatever, or traveling to a foreign country or something else, it means that I think God has put it in there. It's part of your life and it's part of your development, and God wants to therefore just do something through it, which you probably only realize in a year, 2 years' time. But if God has put a dream in there, I believe now is the time to step into that. There was an advert in a newspaper that said, man wanted to work in a dynamite factory, must be willing to travel. What are your goals for the future? See, Deuteronomy 31:6, it said, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Whatever you are facing, you have God with you. Simple as that. Oh, but we tried this before and it didn't work. So what? So just look forward. It's fine. And I think the first thing I would say to give you, see, this is what Jesus said to a guy a long time ago. Five essential pieces of advice for the year ahead. Number one, love God above all else. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. But I find that difficult because I like this and I like that and I like this. Matthew 22, 37 to 39, Jesus replied, love the Lord. He's talking to a guy. A guy comes up to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, I'd like to know that because I'm going to die at some point. And I'd like to know that beyond that, I've got, you know, there's something nice is going to happen. And this applies to everybody. And what Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, I've got to be honest with you, but as a Christian minister, I come away from this loads of times. Because when I first came here, I was in love with the fact that, this church is going to grow and I'm going to have a wonderful Christian reputation. Everyone's going to know that Elim Church with that new guy is so wonderful, and he came along and did it, and he'll write books and publish tapes and fly all over the world and he'll be famous. That's what I thought. But it's completely wrong. God was nowhere in it. You know, and God encouraged me after a while, look, you know, yes, it's great to build the church, but just seek me every day. Even though you might not feel perfect, seek me. Put me first. I'm going to share this now because everyone in here, it's not gruesome, don't worry. But I love looking at the early church. I say early church fathers, but the early church mothers as well, because the women did a lot of the work as well as the men. But I say the early church fathers because I can't think of another word. But there's a guy called Ignatius of Antioch. So when the Antioch church was established, there's like one or two generations afterwards, there was a guy called Ignatius, right? And he's the leader of the church. He was so in love with God. I mean, some of these people, it was just beyond anything. You know, and in this day and age, we can get so distracted with different things. But he was so in love with God that the Roman emperor of the time, which was like five, six, seven, eight people on from Nero, probably, traveled round down through the Holy Land, just traveling around. And he went up to Ignatius of Antioch and asked him about the church. And he said, I want to ask you if you're a Christian. If you are, then you're going to go to Rome and be martyred because I'm the only God here. He said, are you a Christian? Not only did he say yes, he was up for being martyred. He thought, absolutely. You know, he then bragged. He literally went to Rome himself. He wasn't carried there. He bragged in towns and villages on the way that he was about to be martyred for Christ. And they said, were you going to be eaten by lions? He said, so what? He said, I'm not saying you should follow that, but I'm saying at some point there was this theory, this teaching in the early church and maybe around the world now that we live to love Jesus more, above all else. Now, I don't fully know what that means. I'm just a guy in his early 50s who grew up on a council estate, who's in a beautiful part of the south of England, privileged to lead this lovely church. But I'm still discovering that myself. But to be in love with God above all else, what does that mean? But he's saying that if you put Jesus above all else in your life, in the same way you'd run after something else, you know, then that is the one thing I believe is God saying that to all of us in this year. Now, pretty much 95% of us in this room will think, I'd love to be able to do that. And you're probably thinking about your grandma or auntie this or this person or that person at church who really projects that type of life for Jesus. And you're thinking, well, I can't do that. That's a good place to start. Because it all happens through him anyway. Absolutely all happens through him. Looked after my sister-in-law's dog in Guernsey many years ago when she and her family went to France. And so me and Jackie stayed at Auntie Flo's house. And she had this lovely dog called Lizzie. And we'd take her on this particular common. So the north part of Guernsey, the top tip is this particular kind of a common sort of thing whereby you can walk dogs on there, but you've got to really protect it. It's a real like protected by the local government, and if a dog digs a hole, you got to fill it in, otherwise, you know, everyone knows everyone in Guernsey and somebody would tell on you and you get fined, you know. So I threw the ball and Lizzie ran after the ball, and she ran after this ball like there was no tomorrow. This ball was the most important thing. She'd jump over people, jump over over hills and over rivers to get there. And then she'd grab it and then she'd come running back to me with this ball. So I've got the ball. And the ball fell down this particular hole on the green of a golf course, which is part of the common. And she literally demolished the green to get this ball. I mean, I thought, I've seen the headlines because I used to work for the newspaper. I saw the headlines about people, vandals on Lancrest Common. And I thought, this is it. I thought, what can I do about it? And it's just, I said, so let's get the ball first. Let's get the dog out and ring somebody. And I think I did. It was quite a long time ago. But she destroyed everything, went past everything to get this one goal. And I want to have an attitude of this year, myself, and I trust that you will follow me, of just pursuing God more than anything else. Because I know that if I do that, that there is some type of ancient excitement that I've forgotten. And you only remember it when you do that. There's a level of excitement that comes and you think, I'm waking up each day and saying, God, what are we going to do today together? Because I think when we live in like that, it's the most important thing. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't like this one because this is the second one, right? Because this means I've got to think about other people. I'll tell you why I'm saying this. And these are the five things that I believe God gave me. So the second one is, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:38. Love your neighbor as yourself. So that means then that it means all kinds of things. It's like the other day when we lost the remote control. And I knew we'd lost it in the living room. And I think, do I forget about it and only worry about it when I come home and I watch TV later? Or do I think of Jackie and Ashley and find it for them now so that I'm thinking about them and not myself? It's little things like that. And I'm thinking, if I lived this a life whereby I am prioritizing the needs of others above myself, guess what happens? God becomes real. Mega real. It's like, what, bang, where did you come from? We went through this exercise once in a church I was at 30 years ago, and we basically had this goal that we wouldn't pray for ourselves for 1 month, but we'd just pray for everybody else. And of course, I am and was then inherently selfish, chronically selfish, and I'm trying to get better. I'm better than I was. I just thought, no, I need to pray about this and I need to pray about that. But God was saying for this directive, and just pray for others for a month. And I found as though I did that, God answered my prayers anyway. And God became incredibly real. And I wake up in the morning, I just feel so happy. I feel so full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit. Because I was living the type of life that the Bible tells me to live and that I can live. And I would suggest to you, I'm not telling you what to do because you're adults, and you know, but apply this in your life in some way that if you allow God, and God doesn't condemn you, there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus, but if you allow God to this year to see how you can add to the lives of others, pray for other people, pass on what you've got to other people, pass on your legacy, strengthen them, just develop other people, and just put the needs of others before yours, you'll see how God just explodes into fire, light, and hope in all those other areas that you would normally pray about. Oh, I've got to pay this bill and we spent too much at Christmas and you've got about £3,000 on the credit card and we're never going to pay it off, and this and the car, that. That's great. And God will help you and whatever. But I just think sometimes that if we focus on a life of other people, then of praying for others, then it will just bring the Holy Spirit alive in our life and bring some of that joy back. Because let's be honest, a lot of us sometimes we're on cloud nine, but there are some of us who perhaps aren't for fairly good reasons. I want to share the third point now, and before I do it, I want to show a video. This is a video by a group of people, and I showed this to the youth about 3 or 4 years ago. But it's just, there's a group of people in America, connected with a church in Pennsylvania. Pete's speaking elsewhere today, but Leslie has been to this church and so have I. And it's called the Circuit Riders. Now this is just refreshing, because my third point is prioritize spreading the gospel. The reason I'm sharing this is not to recruit you up for it, not to make you or me feel guilty, but to let you see that there are alternative lifestyles available other than what the world is throwing at us and choking us with. You know, whatever you want to do, do it. But guess what? There's other things as well. And what's refreshing is this group of young people on college campuses in America, they go all over the place and they give their lives to spreading the gospel. This is 2 minutes long. It's about 2 minutes long. So if you can get over a West Coast Californian accent, that's fine. But watch this, it's 2 minutes long and it's refreshing.
Man, we pass people who are broken and hurting. We see their faces, we know their names, and we can't help but have something that is inside of us that wants to help and reach out and love them and minister to them. And I believe that heart and that passion and desire to see soul winning trend in America. And what that means is to see people impacted with the love of Jesus and leave never the same.
And so we have this desire to see people get saved. We have this desire to see all of America come to Jesus. But how are we gonna do it? And I think the way that we could do it is if literally an uncommon group of young people, I mean passionate, dedicated people, got together and we said, we're gonna form teams. And we start going from city to city, from college to college, from high school to high school, not just going for a day, not just going for a night, but like Jesus returning over and over again until we see the breakthrough, until we see the culture begin to rise to such a place that literally we could leave and soul winning's breaking out everywhere. Discipleship is breaking out everywhere. Supernatural miracles are breaking out everywhere. That's what we want to do here.
We believe God wants to take this beyond America. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son. Jesus wants to reach every tribe, every tongue, every people group. So God is sending us out. He's sending us out in teams to reach the hardest and the darkest, to reach the unreached. So with joy in our hearts, we're proclaiming that we will go.
So if your heart is burning for this message, come join a family of like-hearted revivalists. Jesus gave you permission when he said, go into all the world and make disciples. Join us this fall for CR Experience. Souls are waiting, campuses are waiting, the nations are waiting, and the time is now.
I always keep up with that group. Thank you very much. Because my third point is prioritize spreading the gospel. However you do it or wherever you do it. You know, with a cup of tea with you, Uncle Jack or wherever. Prioritize spreading the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20 says this. One of the last things Jesus said on earth when he was physically here. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I'll be with you always to the end of the age. He didn't go up to the disciples and say, oh, that's a nice car you got there. How about getting the next model? Those things are important, very important. But the priority was somehow spreading the love and the gospel that we've got. These guys in university campuses in America, some of them have seen angels appear, and they've seen people, seen legs grow and all kinds of things. I'm just thinking, oh man, I want to be part of that so much. I don't want to miss it. I really don't want to miss it. And that, this is not to make anyone feel condemned, but simply to say that the light that you have inside yourselves is good enough for you to share. Don't try to be like me. Don't try to be like other people. Don't try to be like Dave Manning. I look at Denise's dad. Denise's dad is one of the most fearless evangelists I've seen. And I think I want to be more like that. But God's not calling me to copy him exactly. God's calling me to be me. I've got a light inside. No, I've not. But you might think, no, I've not, because I've done this wrong and I've done that wrong. Yeah, have you hit a thing called the cross? You're washed in the blood of Jesus. I love you again. New year. And God, there's a light in every single one of us that somehow he wants us to tactfully spread to others. We've got this light inside, and as a priority, you know, somebody says, I wonder what my God's will is for my life. And I think basically it's kind of in the Bible. You know, an angel might jump in front of you and say, go and do this. And that's great. And God leads you into a calling. Of course he does. And some callings are practical. Some are music preaching. Some are, you know, you're all called to be where you are. You've got some great jobs. There's amazing professionals in this room. But in that, you have something within you that you can, with God's leading, spread to other people. Because there are a lot of dark and anxious and hurting people in this world that we live in. We visit them every day, even in a place like Romsey in Southampton, we visit them every day. I was absolutely, I won't embarrass them, but I was Christmas shopping a few weeks ago, and a few people in this room were handing out Bibles in Southampton. I won't say who they were, but I'm staring at one of them now, but I won't do. That's great to do that. And I think, you know, really amazing that the people do that. And for you, it might not be that. You might think, I can't do that. I work, I've got a 9-to-5 job, and that's great, that's fantastic. But God, I think, wants to encourage every single one of us to continue to spread the gospel in some way. Number four, This, before I share it, this will make most of you feel guilty. Don't. Because this is more really for the church, because the mission for the church for this year, which I shared at the AGM a few weeks ago, is 3, 4, and 5. So number one, spread the gospel. Absolutely, we have to spread the gospel. It's important. You know, God's given us a building here to worship him in, and we look after it, but the priority for this group here has to be to spread the gospel, and uncompromisingly, and to spread it in such a way it can be understood. Now, I'm not saying you've got to do it in the way that man on the street corner with his Bible does it. In fact, you probably shouldn't do it that way, because God's called him to do that. But what is God calling you to do? It may be just simply letting your work colleagues know, look, I go to church, that's cool, and then them seeing your Christ in you and how you work through people. I've for years, in secular jobs, I've had people who, a whole load of people I just didn't get on with at school who hated me and bullied me and stuff. And I've been in touch with lots of them on Facebook, and somebody said, you know what, I've changed, my life's different, and how are you guys? And they tell me about their life. You probably can't do that now, but maybe in 5-10 years, God'll do that in you. So the next one simply is this, which is, this is more for the church, but it's for you as well. Simply allow God's Spirit to impact you. Because John 14:16-17 says, and I will ask the Father, he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, Spirit of Truth. Why? Because those people who are, you know, Simon, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, Judas, the disciples, all 12 of them, and one of them went off, none of them were able to follow Jesus, and none of them were good enough to be Christians, because they need the Holy Spirit. So if you're thinking, oh, this Christian life's really difficult, yes, it is. It's impossible. Yes, it is. I've failed. Yes, you have. And so have I. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, he can look at you individually and say, forget the past. I want to do something new in you. And it may mean something that is miraculous. It may mean something that is not. I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. And this is great. John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Oh, that's fascinating, Dave. Does that mean to say that the Holy Spirit can help me in all these things? Yes, it does. I can't, but he can, because he knows you individually. Allow him to impact you. Allow him to give you the ability to cross every ocean, every barrier that is in front of you. And yes, will he develop the spiritual gifts inside you? Yes, I believe he will, but he may not choose to do that yet. Those things on themselves are not a sign of salvation, but they are evidence. They are evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The sign of salvation is actually the assurance inside that the Holy Spirit gives, and the fruits of the Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit, God may want to develop that in you. And every single person is good enough, absolutely good enough, to who is a believer in Jesus is good enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, if I said to you right now, let's have a competition, right? And let's get some of the fittest people in the room. I know we'd probably win this, actually. I know we'd win this. Let's say if we had a competition to get to Bournemouth across land without a vehicle, and who would be the first person to get there? Now, I'm looking around this room. I know Ophelia is a runner. And if she kind of knew this in. But how long would it take to get to Bournemouth across land? Could you do it in one day? But two. The Lord would be back before I even started, actually. But let's imagine if we thought, like, we're going to get to Bournemouth, we walk down the road, and first person to get there. And let's say Ophelia is one of the people who got there quicker, and maybe some of the people in the room who are a little bit stronger. I'm looking around, but not embarrassing people. But imagine if I said to you, okay, by the way, I'll actually be there before you. And just before you're there, you go past Bournemouth Hospital, and you're almost in Bournemouth, I come flying past you in a Ferrari. And I said, I've got something better to get me there, and it's a car. That's what life's like. You're trying to get there, but the Ferrari is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, and you might think, oh, I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want the Holy Spirit to impact my life. It frightens me. It shouldn't do. Let him meet you and do what he wants to do. Anything can happen. You know, I went for a stage in my life whereby I'd walk up to people and God would tell me supernaturally things about their life. As a much younger Christian, I said, by the way, I'm a Christian, and God said this. Is that right? Yeah, how do you know that? Well, God's told me. Can I pray for you? That's possible. it's possible here in the south of England in 2020 for people like me and you. Thankfully it is. Because I thought it was just possible for those good people. So let the Holy Spirit impact you. And as I say, with 3, 4, and 5, these are part of our mission for the church. We're going to continue on our prayer meetings and other times to allow the Holy Spirit to direct our church and to fill us and just to seek his face and to seek his presence, because that is important. And do we all know what that means right now? Not totally, but we're going to get there. The fifth thing I believe in your toolkit, and this is for the church as well, and this goes into where we're kind of going with the church a little bit, is discover and embrace God's plan for you without fear. What is God saying to you personally? What dream has God put? I kind of mentioned it a little bit. Matthew 25:14 onwards, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and gave them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another he gave 1, each according to his ability, then went away. God's given us talents, gifts, God's given us dreams, God's given us something. What is it that God has given you? You saw a group of people today playing instruments on the stage. Thank you to everyone who took part. And God has given them individual gifts. But what has God given you? Embrace it without fear. Embrace it without fear. See, God said something to me, and I'm going to share this. I want to share it kind of now because it's absolutely poignant. And I brought it up again. You see, when this guy in 2012 went into Winchester Hospital, the lowest common denominator was me at the time learning to play the guitar, and I did do. So I grabbed the Songs of Fellowship book 2, got my chords ready, and I started leading worship on a Sunday night with about 3 songs for 6 weeks on the tour. Well, then 4 songs, then 5 songs, and 6 songs. And I just wonder if, because this guy was healed in hospital and he came around and he's been stronger than ever since. But I just wonder if God was using that to develop me as a worship, not a worship leader, but one of the worship team. And I believe he was, and I believe that I was disobedient in burying it afterwards. See, I'm a minister of the church. I'm not called to lead worship, but God wants to develop my ability to lead worship within me. And I've put it down and buried the talent. There's some great worship leaders in the church. Some of them are away today, and that's their job to do it. But as an assistant and occasional of this, God told me many years ago as part of my ministry that I had to do that, and I buried it completely. And I had to say, God, I'm really, really sorry. What has God put to you? See, I believe God's saying something to this church right now. And I want to mention this, and it's what we've mentioned. You see, God, what's God been saying over the last 10 years and beyond? Well, I can only say 10 years because I've only been here 10 years. The first thing was get some kind of a porter cabin outside. So we did that. One was get the trees down. We did that. One was develop a youth group, and we did that with the help of many people in this room, Johanna and Laura and other people, Deborah at the moment. One was take a team to Soul Survivor. We've done that 4 times. Here's the other one. I absolutely believe in my heart of hearts, and we've shared this at the AGM, and this is God's plan for the church, I believe. Quite simply this, that if this church just continues to grow, we cannot continue to meet in this building on a Sunday morning. We've got issues with parking, with disabled access, and all kinds of things. So what God is saying to us is just to see where his Holy Spirit is pointing us. Our belief, our desire is to absolutely hang on to this building and use this building for everything, for evening service, base, worship, prayer, youth, playgroup, everything. This is our place. But if we put a foot into the water and see if it's cold or hot and think, how about a few weeks we just try meeting somewhere else? Hey, what? If it falls to pieces, we've got a building to come back into. And I'll say, sorry, guys. But I just wonder if God's calling us to step over the Jordan and step out of our fear, my fear, and try something different. I just wonder if this place is just a little bit too small for growth. Because we have got something like now, 105, 110 people in this church, with every single child, adult and baby that normally comes along, and they're never always here at once. So I believe, that's a little bit uncomfortable. So I believe in this last one, that God's a toolkit for this church is to say, and I'm going to be finished in a few minutes, don't worry, is to simply say, what am I saying? Because God has given us this building and we're grateful of it. But I just wonder how the one service could continually grow in this building. Now, I've got the authority to say this, but because I'm the pastor, but another church locally just recently went to two services for 5-6 months and now stopped it. They've gone back to one. Because having two services on a Sunday can be quite difficult because it splits the on a Sunday morning, splits the congregation up and there are difficulties. I'm not saying God isn't saying do that. And if, you know, if God appeared out of nowhere and said we need to do that, but at the moment I'm just thinking, you know, we have got to come up with some solution for continual growth for this, because we have had people come here and think this is, we're too cramped into one place. I can't park. I can't get to the toilet. I'm going elsewhere. So listen, if you want to, if that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, go away, pray, see what God's saying to you. Come back and say, well, actually, Dave, what you shared on Sunday, I didn't quite agree with, but I prayed in A, B, C, and D. I think, oh, that's a good idea. But what I'm saying is, let's not be hemmed in by things that we've put there to hem us in. So five things, very simply, and this is to all of us and to the church as well. Love God above all else. I can't give you any other advice. I mean, I can give you all kinds of advice. You know, like have a cup of tea and a banana in the morning, like I do, because it boosts you up for the day. And have you seen that program on TV? It's really good. It's on Netflix at the moment. I can give you that sort of advice, but without a shadow of a doubt, a toolkit for this year, for this decade, is love God above all else. Discover what that feels like. Discover what that feels like. I remember once being jealous as anything in the week before I went out with Jackie. Because she was in Derby, she was at a local party, a group of people at this house that I knew this evening gathering, and I couldn't go to it because I was at work. I desperately wanted to be there because I knew that perhaps there's another boy you liked her, and it was horrible, horrible feeling. And God said, "That is what I want you to feel like after me, chased after me like that." And I thought, "Flipping it, that's powerful." Come on, this is what it's about. Ignatius of Antioch, I want to share tonight about Polycarp of Smyrna, who literally was, I mean, he was a similar story, but just chase after God. Number two, prioritize others above yourself. I mean, look, a lot of you do that anyway, and a lot of you great, I mean, some really good people of servant attitudes in this church, from young to very old, I know that, but just basically saying that if you do that, that God will become so much more alive in your life. Number three, spread the gospel at every chance. Just God will give you the strength to do it. Really will give you the strength to do it. You know, no advice I can give you would help you to do that. Number four, allow God's spirit to impact you. And number five, discover and embrace God's plan for you without fear. What is God saying? Maybe just because we've done something a certain way for a while doesn't mean to say it's the right way to continue to do it. God wants to continue to lead us on. Things may be different. Things may change. Don't worry about it. You know, when I, last illustration, and we'll pray and the worship band can come back and lead us. We probably, maybe two songs or something. But when my mother died, this is how your mind can be set in a particular thing. When my mother died and we had to move out of the council house where I lived, the idea of living on a different council estate wasn't even there. And so the guy said to me, he said, from the housing association, this is in 1992, he came to me, he said, look, there's a house in blah, blah, blah place. I thought, I can't do that. That's outside the known universe. I've lived in this estate all my life. But I think God was just saying, well, actually, it's possible to step outside the norm and to do something different. Just step outside the norm, do something different. I thought, wow, so I did, and I moved. And I moved off that estate, which was an awful place to live. I'm not telling where it was, it's about 200 miles north. But I thought, oh, wow, something different, something new. So what is God saying to you about embracing God's plan for you without fear? Don't say, I've always done this, I've never done this. Think, well, actually, you know, maybe it's right to still do that. Or maybe God's saying to me to do something different. What is God saying to you? And I want to just throw a few things in. Have you been baptized? Have you moved in the spiritual gifts? Have you led someone to Christ? Have you witnessed to somebody? Just kind of run it around in your head and just see what God's saying to you. I'll say one thing as I finish. I know God's real. Absolutely real, without a doubt. I mean, I've seen so much in my life that's just miraculous. That I mean, the stuff I've compared is nothing compared to some of the things other people have said. This man on the front here, John, literally, he will share one day the stuff he's seen in his life, and he's absolutely incredible. So I want to leave that with you right now, and simply say that as we go into this new year, allow these points. This is a toolkit that I want to give you. It's not one theme all tied up. It wasn't based on one scripture, but it's just you. So if you're going to come to me and say, I wonder what the Lord's saying to me. Well, what, brother, what's the Lord saying to me? Is he going to give me a Rolls Royce, brother? This is what God's saying to you. You know, the Lord, love God above all else. Prioritize and love yourself. Spread the gospel at every chance. Allow God's spirit to impact you. And discover and embrace God's plan for you without fear. Now, this is for you as well. You might think, oh, do you know what? I've heard this preached loads and loads of times. It's not for me. But I want to make sure that these youngsters follow it. Rubbish. We're all a youngster. I'm a youngster. I'm 52. When I'm 95, I'll still be a young person. You know what I mean? I'm always 15 in my head. What's this old thing? We go physically old, but oh, I've seen all that before. So what? No one's interested. Shut up. Embrace God again. Come on. Get there again. I've done it myself. Get a new day, a new God, a new chance with God. He's got great things for you, and he's got great things for this year. And yes, we are facing an unstable situation in the Middle East. We come out of the European Union in a few weeks, and that could wobble the economy. So what? Big deal. God can sort it out. He's there. We've seen miracles in this church already over this last, you know, over this last year where people have been seriously ill and God has miraculously healed them. You know, one in this room right now, and it's just amazing. And, you know, I look back on my life and so many things that I could say, you know, because this has happened, it's very, very difficult for me to move on. But hey, you know, God's there, God's compassionate, and he can help you. Let's just pray before we do anything else. And then I'll ask the musicians to come back. But I want the musicians to stay where they are at the moment, just because I just want to be part of this. Lord, we stand at the beginning of this new year. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for every person in this room. I believe you gave me these 5 points for me above all else. And Lord, and if I obey them, if just I obey them this year, then at least you'll have got me where you want me to be. And then you'll work on everybody else next year. But I know that others will look at them as well, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we can take on board these 5 points. Help me to fall in love with you deeper. Help me to learn to prioritize above others above myself, even with things like the TV remote. Help me to spread the gospel, Lord. We've tried so many ways, and it hasn't always worked as well as we have wanted it to work, and sometimes it has. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will impact me this year. What have I missed, Lord? I pray that your Holy Spirit will impact me and my brothers and sisters here. And finally, help us to discover and embrace your plan for our life. I know for a fact, Lord, that whatever every single person in this room has been through, Lord, and whatever we've done, you don't condemn any one of us, Lord. And you have the answer. You have the way through for all of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty, mighty God.